Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, May 2nd. Today, a grasslands wildfire tore through a Colorado ranch sanctuary last weekend, burning more than 8,500 acres. And while people survived, the damage is deep. So how is May Ranch, a nationally recognized conservation location, coping? Before we continue, a quick message from our friends and sponsors, Colorado Water Trust, a statewide nonprofit that restores flows to Colorado's rivers in need. They partner with water users, providing temporary and flexible transactions, pay fair market value for water, and ensure water rights are protected. Learn more about their Request for Water program at coloradowatertrust.org. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Several amusement parks in northwest Denver have entertained Coloradans since the late 19th century, but only one merited the boastful slogan, "Not to see Elitches is not to see Denver." In the 1880s, John and Mary Elitch bought a farm at 38th Avenue and Tennyson Street to support their Denver restaurant. They ended up transforming the property into a picnic ground and zoo, Denver's first, with animals donated by P.T. Barnum. In addition to lions, camels, and wolves on display, bears in a pit would beg for treats from the crowd. While John Elitch died in 1891, Mary continued to operate the grounds, living on site for most of the rest of her life. Elitch's evolved into an amusement park with a Ferris wheel, carousel, roller coasters, haunted house, and child-themed area called Kiddyland. By the 1920s, the park boasted two iconic attractions, the Trocadero Ballroom and the Elitch Theater. The best bands appeared at the truck, and the theater hosted stage and screen stars like Raymond Burr, Douglas Fairbanks, Grace Kelly, and Edward G. Robinson. Next, our feature story. A grasslands wildfire that tore through a Colorado ranch sanctuary last weekend burned more than 8,500 acres. The people who were there survived, but the damage is deep. May Ranch, near Lamar, has transformed itself into a sustainable, nationally recognized conservation location that is home to endangered species, fewer row crops, more wetlands, and sanctuaries for endangered species. The wildfire threatens much of that gain. Colorado Sun reporter Mike Booth has the story.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Tatiana.
Can you give just a little bit of background about the fire that occurred at May Ranch near Lamar last weekend, just for listeners who aren't aware of it?
Sure. We've been lucky enough to visit May Ranch a couple of times in the past few months to watch them release badly endangered black-footed ferrets on the property and just to learn about this 15,000-acre ranch in southeastern Colorado near Lamar that is trying to do many things to be a great conservation ranch and to be a place not only where cattle can be raised and baby cows, but also that birds can survive, that wildlife can thrive, beaver dams, prairie dogs, burrowing owls, eagles, any number of critters that can live in conjunction with the cattle and not have to be forced off the land. And they've worked very hard at that for years and years, four generations of that May family that have been working on this for a long time. And then we got the very bad news that last Friday and Saturday, a wildfire, a grass brush fire, swept through most of the ranch. And of that 15,000 acres, almost 9,000 acres was burned in just a matter of hours.
Tell me how you found this story and how you got access to it, because I actually didn't see as much reporting about this wildfire as I would have expected.
Well, we've been staying in touch with them because we had just enjoyed their story so much, and our readers had really responded to that story, and they're continuing to develop their regenerative agriculture techniques. And so they knew that we'd be interested. And so Dallas reached out to us and said, "Hey, did you know that we had this? And after we're done trying to save the animals and trying to clean up a bit, we'd be happy to talk to you about what happened and how we tried to save the animals out there and where we go from here." So what we're going to be doing, and our readers should know this too, is we'll follow them for the next few months and see how they try to recover from this, because it's such a devastating blow.
Yeah. So this leads into the next question. You kind of touched on it, but in your story, you say that May Ranch is sustainable, nationally recognized, and home to endangered species, et cetera. Can you just tell us more about that and why this ranch is unique?
Sure. Well, they have a lot of endangered and threatened species there, from birds to, as we mentioned, the black-footed ferrets that are the rarest mammal in North America that they are now hosting. And they have tried to do everything from create new wetlands and protect those wetlands in the middle of a very dry high plains ranch and farming country to creating bird cover and hosting the bird count days from some of the greatest birders in the country and the most renowned bird scientists in the country, and have sold conservation easements and protected different parts of land to make sure that will never be developed. They're trying to shift from irrigation to dryland farming, which is more in tune with the land. They try to keep the cattle from overgrazing and use the hooves of the cattle and their grazing techniques to actually regenerate the grass the way the buffalo used to. So there's a lot of things that they're doing out at May Ranch to try to make it sustainable regenerative agriculture and add back to the land instead of subtracting from the land.
How might the fire threaten May Ranch and its stature or future in the community? Have they said anything about how or what their first steps might be to recovery?
First of all, they lost almost 50 miles of interior fencing. Just the fence post literally burned down into the ground and just a lot of barbed wire sitting there on the ground. So their cattle, 800 head of cattle and up to 350 new calves this spring, sort of birthing every hour as we speak, are wandering around in places they shouldn't be and aren't used to being. And they have to try to collect them and make sure that they get water, make sure they get feed. The natural grassland that they would have been grazing on as the spring grass comes up is now going to have to be replaced by their own alfalfa, their own hay. They'll have to get it from neighbors. Neighbors are bringing truckloads of hay by and just dropping them and saying, you know, feel free to use this. So neighbors really get together out on the plains to try to solve these situations. But the wildlife areas that were burned over, we don't know yet. They don't know yet. The prairie fire can be restorative. It can create room for native grasses to grow back. It can mean a lot of new green shoots growing up that the cattle really love. But in order to do that, you need water. You need rain. They haven't had much snow since we visited them in November, almost none, they believe. And the forecast is not great for this summer in terms of trying to get out of a drought. All of Colorado is now in a federally declared drought system that allows farmers and ranchers to get assistance, but it doesn't bring them any water. And so for the whole ranch to recover, they really need water.
You have a lot of great anecdotes in this story about individual people who survived, about animals, about the atmosphere that day of the fire. Could you just pick your favorite scene and describe why it's so poignant in your opinion?
There were some amazing things going on and people doing heroic things to try to save the animals and not thinking so much of themselves and neighbors coming in. The best way to describe that danger, though, that the firestorm brought down on the ranch is to hear Dallas May's brother, Bon May. He told photographer Mike Sweeney in about 2 minutes, just a rat-a-tat story of what unfolded, how 10 different human lives were saved at different points on the ranch. So let's give that a listen.
Okay, so we have these 10 instances I'll go through. Wes has two guys that work for him in the shop here, and their name are Bernie and Chad. He asked them to run over and try to start pushing calves out of the corral because the fire was bearing down and they were trapped. When they got to the corral, there was a division wildlife officer there with them. They pushed all the calves they could out. We had one pen with crippled cows, and they were trying to get those crippled cows out. And the division wildlife officer grabbed Bernie by the shirt collar and started dragging him and said, "We've got to go now." Bernie yanked himself free because he said, "Chad's still in the pen." Chad was in the pen, and the smoke was so thick, 20 feet away, they couldn't see one another. Bernie starts hollering for Chad, and Chad hollers, "I hear you." Bernie says, "Come to my voice." He said it seemed like it was 5 minutes, it was probably 2 seconds. But Chad got out of the smoke. Bernie grabbed Chad around the waist. They threw each other into the wildlife officer's pickup on his lap and sped out with the flames coming over him. So that's three guys. Dallas there with the loader as the fire is licking over him as he was leaving is four. The sheriff, Danny, and Armando trapped in the yard trying to keep the house from burning. They couldn't get out of the yard, so that's seven. Chano on his horse is eight. There was another guy that we barely know. He's in a tractor. Chano had 20 goats and sheep right by his house, and this guy in a tractor was trying to tear the fence to get those down. He ended up with second-degree burns. Then Wesley's wife, Holly, was at their house. They had four horses just east of their house, headed for the fire, and she was trying to gather those horses and get them out. But they were panicking, and she couldn't, so she had been running, and she ran herself till she almost collapsed. Wes saw her in a tractor, and he started heading for her as she calls him and says, "Wes, I need help. I can't get my air." He got her in the tractor, and within seconds, that area is in flame. 10 people that close.
Is there anything else you would like to add that I didn't already ask about?
Well, everybody out there and all of our readers are very glad, of course, that first no humans came to much great harm. There were some first and second degree burns here and there from people trying to save the animals, and no big structures burned down. So that's great. That gives the ranch a better chance to recover. So what we all need to do now is what we're doing all across Colorado, really, but maybe more so for Lamar and the May Ranch, is to hope that they get some precipitation and hope that the grass can start growing back.
Well, excellent reporting. Thank you for your time, Mike.
Thanks. Appreciate the Colorado Sun readers.
Thanks for listening. For more on this story, visit us at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado is on the verge of adopting a law that would make daylight saving time permanent year-round. Governor Jared Polis is expected to sign the bill, but the clocks won't be frozen until Congress passes a law and at least four other Mountain Zone states join in. Supporters point to studies that have shown springing the clock forward leads to increases in heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, and other problems in the immediate aftermath. Proponents say people along the Front Range would see about 2 months of the year where the sun would not rise before 8 a.m., and for nearly half of the year, they wouldn't see a sunrise before 7 a.m. As many as two-thirds of those who lost homes in the Marshall Fire lack enough insurance to fully cover their rebuilding costs, according to a new analysis by the Colorado Division of Insurance. The division has been reviewing claims from 61 insurance companies related to the Marshall Fire, which destroyed more than 1,000 homes in Superior, Louisville, and unincorporated Boulder County late last year. More than $1 billion in claims have been filed. Exactly how many people are underinsured depends on the cost to rebuild. The challenge for state officials now and going forward will be nailing down reliable rebuilding costs. Colorado's mountain resorts are cutting back on their summer offerings as the labor crisis persists. Vail Resorts announced its summer plans at its major resorts last week, and one thing was very different. Zip lining and canopy tours, once the foundation of an industry-wide expansion of summer amenities, are dropped from the resort operators' offerings at Vail and Breckenridge. Company representatives said individual resorts may revive zip lines this summer if they can hire enough staff. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.